Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Tough Customers. Also joining us is Jonathan Brule, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Steve, earlier you've mentioned the four hoops of fire, which you outline in your book. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. I came up with the four hoops of fire because I felt that people are generally, they don't know what to do when they get into the office of the lion. As I said earlier, they think they're the functional experts. They're thrown by the social behavior that tends to dominate. And so someone who I knew at one of the federal agencies said, hey, can you put a card together for our breast pocket to look at before we go into the meeting? And he didn't really have any ideas of what should go on it, but I had ideas. And the one thing was to draw four hoops of fire and call them leadership, management, communication, and relationships. And the reason I did this is because I think it's very important to keep your eye on the four things, not so much that you want the lions to do, but that they have to do. And you need to help them do these things as part of your job. And it could be human capital, it could be IT, it could be budget, it could be a program. The four hoops of fire, simply leadership, is making sure there's a vision and articulated goals. It doesn't have to be five pages, it can be, you know, a half a page. But the lion needs to know what they are and has to be able to repeat them. And other people need to know what they are. And lions do like to roar, by the way, so it's a good thing to have them roar about. Could be, you know, here's what we're in business to do. Dave Walker used to roar about, you know, he wrote these core values of accountability, integrity, and reliability. He roared about that all the time, and I thought that was good. Management is this focus on operations. How are we run? Do we have the right people doing the right things? They're accountable for these things. And so whatever it is you're talking to them about, that's it. Communication. Strategic communication is one of the most overlooked and underutilized aspects of a leader's role. Washington, everybody thinks they can do it, but I don't think they do it very well. I always tell people, in addition to lion taming, your job isn't your job. The town is your job. You need to know where the stuff needs to be heard. And then relationships. It's your job to introduce your lion to everybody you know or get them in front of people. And there's all sorts of what I call circles of influence in Washington, inside, outside government. And particularly if you work in a big agency where there's lots of rules about who you can meet with and when, you really got to get invited to lots of stuff, including the Hill. And so those are the four hoops of fire. You need to keep your eye on what they are and use them. Don't forget about them when you go into a meeting.
Steve, earlier you drew a distinction between lion taming and, I believe you said, lion teaming. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Well, I was sitting in a bar in the upper Midwest with a couple of lion tamers after some long days of watching them train. And they had rather illustrious careers in other parts of the world, in Europe, where they trained all sorts of animals. And they were telling me, chimpanzees and bears and elephants and dogs and you name it. Very few of the lion tamers I ever met ever thought, waking up, I'm going to be a lion tamer. It's like anything else. You go to work, what do they need you to do? In one case, literally, the lion tamer got drunk and was mauled, and the assistant became the lion tamer. In other cases, there was a market for it. For a long time, by the way, tigers were very much in vogue. And you interview the tiger trainers, and they'll tell you, I got the Ferraris. And, you know, those lions, they're like Chevys, you know. So, you know, they literally say stuff like that to you. So I was sitting in this bar, and, you know, you can only imagine, you know, the Pabst sign was flashing, and they were playing Stairway to Heaven in the background. And the two lion tamers, the husband and wife team. So I turned to one, Jürgen, and I said over the music, so, you know, what's your secret? After all of these lists of all these animals that he had trained. And he leans over and he reaches behind his wife's back and whispers in my ear in this thick German accent, "We connect." And I thought, wow, that really is a secret that most people would never think that they're working at. to connect and engage in some meaningful way. It's teaming. Lion taming is lion teaming because the lion needs to know that they're the lion. You got to show that generally with body language. You know, I'm doing some consulting over at the Defense Department. There are so many yes sirs, no sirs that it's meaningless. You know, they say it to people who are lions, who are not lions, it doesn't matter. So that alone isn't going to get you there. They need to know that you know that they're the lion. They also need to know whose team you're on, that you're on their team. Now, you can be loyal to them and still be honest with them. And you need to connect and you need to have that relationship intact. And trust, by the way, comes as much from no surprises as it does from don't push them to do something they're not ready to do. Don't finish their sentences for them. Don't put words in their mouth. Don't try to represent them without authority. There's this whole phrase in government and in organizations called influencing without authority. You better know you have authority to influence without authority, without the appearance of authority.
Well, Steve, you've come up with more than 75 survival and success tips, and you've just given us a number right now. But one of them you've written is, always remember that you never go into the cage without knowing what kind of day the lion's having. How did you learn that one?
I think I knew it, but I don't think I really realized how important it was. There was a very famous lion tamer for many years named Jose Berta, who is retired now in Sarasota, Florida. And his son, George, also grew up in the lion taming business. And during the course of my research, I was invited down to their home to meet with them. And in the first part of the interview, George and I were talking about lion attacks. And by the way, this family had since moved on to African elephants. And so the first stop when I got out of my car was to be walked over to the corral to meet three large African elephants that were in the act. And then I went over to their home. And, you know, it's a good thing I was an anthropology major college because I happen to like going out and finding these situations. But one of the first things George did was, this is very interesting given what happened to Roy Horn and Siegfried and Roy, is that he rolled up his pants, his pant leg, to show me where this lioness attacked him. And the first thing he said, but it wasn't her fault, which was interesting because that's what Roy Horn said, or Siegfried said, after the tiger attacked him. They usually feel that it's their responsibility for how the animal behaves because they set the conditions and they set the behaviors as well. So when I was asking George in particular what it was like growing up, what advantage he had growing up in a family business where he had to take care of the lions growing up, and I said, you know, what applications does it have to the workplace? And he said to me, I would never go into the cage with a lion unless I knew what kind of day he was having. And you remember Steve Benowitz, who used to work at the Office of Personnel Management, he confirmed this. He said in his first job he had that the secretary had one of those tall, like mail desks, you know, with the slots, but it faced out into the hallway of his boss. I don't know where he was working in those days. But it had this sign, the boss is in a blank mood today. And she would put a sign every day, good, bad, poor, rotten, you know. And he said he really paid attention to that. And I think it's important to, you know, a lot of this is one real weakness of people at the top of the food chain, particularly at the career level. They think it's not that they think they know it all. They don't think they need to consult with, particularly in really hierarchical agencies and organizations. You know, they don't ask the assistant or the executive assistant or the secretary anything. And that is the biggest mistake. You want to know who the real lion tamer is? They are. They are with that person. They're living with that personality. And don't forget what I said earlier. When they're the lion, yes, the good news is they're the lion over a glass of scotch and they're the lion in a meeting. So you have pretty broad access to that personality. But the person dealing with that persona day in and day out is that individual, and they are your deputy lion tamer when you're the lion tamer.
So, Steve, I feel like we may need to have a disclaimer at the end of the show which says don't try this at home. But what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, you know, I'm biased because I've done it my whole career. I think we really need it. First of all, post 9/11, particularly now with the calamities in the market and the economy, government is at the center of American life to a greater degree than it has ever been since World War II. It has shifted from the periphery right to the center. You can think of almost every issue of American life. Now it's almost easy. You know, it's the economy, it's housing, it's the banks. But, you know, it was, you know, surviving hurricanes. It was whether your son or daughter was going to go to war or not. It was the cleanliness of the air and the water that we breathe. All these things. So I really think that to participate in public service is to be at that center. Also, the Bureau of Labor Statistics recently, I think, announced that 89-point-some-odd percent of federal employees don't even work in Washington. So don't think you have to come to Washington to do it. The stimulus package is as much an interplay between federal, state, and local as anything we've ever seen. So you're going to get a more unified approach, you know, to government and problem solving. So I think it's a very exciting time. But if you want to play a role in getting to help things across society, government's a great place to do it.
Well, it's a wonderful perspective. Steve, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule and for sharing these wonderful stories and insights on taming our daily lions.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Albert, I want to mention for interested readers, the book Lion Taming is available at www.liontaming.com. And you can also pick it up online at barnesandnoble.com or Amazon. Any of those places will have it. And my email is simply cats, no pun intended, K-A-T-Z at liontaming.com. If you have any questions, feel free to write me.
Great. Thank you, Steve. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Tough Customers. My co-host has been Jonathan Bruhl, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.